Welcome back to another episode of the Catholic Buzz. We're so happy that you're joining us today for episode 16. We have lots of fun to talk about today on this episode. Whether you're watching us on YouTube or listening in on the Catholic Buzz podcast on Apple Podcasts. Joining me today, I'm so excited for you, if you're watching on YouTube, to see what he's wearing. Josh Sullivan. Like, look at this. You got the most Hawaiian, like, summery
I'm on vacation. That's the way.
Yeah. Your outfit just screams you're on vacation.
Yep, that's what I want. Yeah. Yeah, just don't talk to me. I'm on vacation.
This seems like a shirt that should be buried at the back of your closet.
And my wife tries.
Well, welcome to you. And over here, also wearing a really neat t-shirt, Matt Van Milligan. Man, you. Eh?
Yeah, classic Man U, though.
Classic Man U, yeah. When the team was good.
When the team was good.
Yeah. We're going to have some Man U fans really upset. Yeah. Actually, the team's not doing that bad.
No, and to be honest, I haven't followed that closely in recent years. So
who has played on the team?
The old boys, like Beckham and Ronaldo and, Ronaldo's a good Catholic boy.
Yeah. What did you guys, like, coordinate? You were going to wear, like, these?
Yeah.
Yeah, me for the opposite reason. If I wear something that's figure forming, that's the only way I can get my wife to watch.
Oh my gosh. Maybe it's a blessing for people listening on iTunes today and not having to see I'm seeing. Yeah. So a long weekend we just had. August, the first weekend of August.
I'm still always on it.
Can you believe we're in August already?
It's crazy.
I know, like, we started this podcast back in April, May, and we're in August. Like, summer's sort of cruising.
5 months later.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Anything exciting for the long weekend?
Well, we're in camping mode. You say, I can't believe it's August already. We're excited that it's finally August. Yeah. And we can go camping and just kind of take it easy for a while.
So I don't know if people know at home, but your wife is pregnant and expecting in September.
Yeah, end of September.
So how's she enjoying, like, the camping?
Camping is a bit of a change because at home, you know, we have air conditioning and it's it's climate controlled, and
camping is not.
Yeah, I can only imagine. But being pregnant in the middle of summer seems kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah, so far so good.
I mean, just carrying around my gut is really painful in the summertime. I couldn't imagine carrying around another human being. Yeah, exactly. And you've been doing a lot of camping, but now you're doing the opposite. You're moving back into a house.
Yeah. So we bought a house, and so we're moving back in. And so that's been the last couple of days, is moving in. And
what was going through your mind when you were packing up your house, moving to your new house, and decided that shirt is something that has to come with you?
It wasn't actually. It was one of the last things in my closet. I think my wife hoped that I didn't find it, that it was left behind. I just happened to open the closet up and it was there, the only one left, and I had to throw it on.
You're like, oh, so, honey, this shirt fell into the garbage.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
There it is. Oh, hey, look what I found. And she just kind of groaned. Yeah. And I said, do you know where my straw hat is?
She drove by. It's in, like, the donation bin hanging over. You're like, is that my shirt? Yeah.
Lots of laughs. We threw the wrong one out, the wrong bag. It went to donation.
Lots of fun. This past weekend, we welcomed another person into the Catholic Church.
Awesome.
Baptized, confirmed. It's been really something. It's been really exciting in summer, welcoming people into the Catholic faith. And it's been a real joy for me to help people through that process, you know?
There's a blessing doing it during the Easter Vigil, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But it is kind of exciting when they do it on their own throughout the year. Whereas when we reflect on the resurrection, we reflect on new life, we reflect on all that stuff during Easter Vigil, when things like this happen during the summer or even, like, in the fall or whatever, you go, oh, hey, that's awesome. You get excited about your faith.
Exactly. Like, you kind of, like, expect it at Easter.
Yeah, that's right.
And then when it happens, like, throughout the year, it's kind of, like, a little more special.
Yeah.
For the candidates and catechumens as well, that having it done kind of later in the year, especially because of COVID, it shows that there's kind of a real desire on their part. They're not just kind of going through the steps to be like, okay, this is what people do. They're confirmed at Easter. That it's, no, people are actually seeking this.
True. And I don't know, Josh, if you know, but Matt and his wife also lead sort of the RCIA program in the parish. And last weekend, was it last weekend? Mm-hmm. Time flies. Yep. The two people were welcomed into the Catholic Church, and they chose Matt and Teresa Marie, his wife, as
sponsors.
As their sponsor. Yeah, so congrats. Another your godfather. I assumed you were like godfather to like many people, but that's not the case, you say.
Not too many.
Yeah. I thought like you'd be the first pick for people becoming Catholic, you know?
Yeah, well, that with our family, it tends to be, it tends to go in cycles and be like, okay, who has, with that, what's the count
and who
now?
Doesn't have 20,
27 grandchildren or something
so
like that?
It's, going now?
It's on a rotation basis that it's like, okay, this person only has 6 godchildren. Yeah.
Yeah. There's like a little chart.
Yeah.
Okay, so today we're going to be talking about something that maybe people would expect us to talk about, and that's Jesus.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Exactly. Yeah. The person of Jesus.
Sunday School, the sequel.
Yeah.
And maybe people are wondering why we're talking about Jesus, but why not be talking about Jesus? Because I think there's a lot of, maybe not a lot of confusion, but there's some misconceptions about who the person of Jesus was, you know, his humanity, his divinity, the person of Jesus that we've come to know in our own spiritual life, the person of Jesus who's existed before all time and all these different things. So I think it's worth diving into the topic of Jesus.
There was a study done in Britain, and this when I just did a little bit of research about this before we were talking about it today. And so they said that 20%, so they did, it was a university study, and it was just of England and not necessarily, I was trying to find Canadian or United States and stuff, but it wasn't. But it was in England, 20% of people, not necessarily Catholics, just everybody, 20% believed that Jesus was a fictional character, like didn't he actually exist. And so I think that's a great topic to talk about now, because even if, I mean, I think if you ask most people, they, oh yeah, Jesus was some guy in the back, you know, they kind of believe it. But I think there are actually people out there that actually doubt his existence right now, that whether he didn't actually exist out there. And I think that's a good way that we can actually show and we can prove and we can talk about today that he did exist. We know he existed. And I don't think historians, well, Matt, maybe you can tell me more, but there isn't really many historians that would refute Jesus' existence.
Of course not.
Yeah. But the reasons why I think a lot of people, not that they don't believe that he exists, but they maybe just expect him to be a fictional character because they think that he can only be proven from the Bible. Okay, so Christians made up this book that talks all about this good guy that scares people into believing and following them.
So a lack of belief in Jesus is people's lack of belief to adhere to the Bible, let's say, or to believe the Bible.
That's right.
Like, so, yeah.
Or the church.
The
church made up the Bible, which made up this character called Jesus so that everyone would follow the church.
Yeah, because there is a lot of hostility towards the church,
yeah.
A lot of hostility towards sort of Bible-thumping Christians, if you will. So, yeah, maybe that has something to do with that they just don't believe Jesus exists. That number though, 20%, to me,
huge.
That's a really big number for people to say that he did not exist.
Yeah. And for some people, like through no fault of their own, living in kind of a post-Christian West, or we talked about in earlier episodes, people being removed from kind of a biblically literate kind of family or, you know, culture, that they're not really faced with the question of whether Jesus existed historically or not, so they don't really have a strong position on it.
Either way.
I don't have any real commitment to whether or not he existed historically, so it's easier to just not, because then you don't have to
commit.
Yeah.
And on that note, like the Bible is not the only place where you read about the historical Jesus.
No, I think so. That's actually, so one of the reasons why I think people, some of the things we know about Jesus, we take facts that we kind of know about Jesus, or things that we know about Jesus, maybe from the Bible, but we know that Jesus wasn't royalty, right? He wasn't a king, he wasn't a fighter, he wasn't a general, he wasn't any of those things. If he was one of those things, there would be records, specific records about him written, but he wasn't. He was a peasant in a Jewish community run by Romans. And so, like, all those things go to that. Like, he was the lowest of the low. He was born in a stable. I mean, we know that kind of stuff. But he's the lowest of the low. So no one's writing about this guy. And he didn't leave a heritage or a heirloom of things. So like if he was born a nobody, but then became somebody and then left behind all this treasure, there is a path of the treasure to follow, you know, like, or if he made something huge but he didn't. His everything about him was passed on through humans, right? Like, so it's kind of cool that there is no, first of all, we don't have bones for him. And our faith explains that one. But also that there is no record, like some people say, well, there's no record of him being born. Well, yeah, but why would they record a peasant being born in a lower society community? No, there wouldn't be. But some of the cool stuff is outside of the Bible, there are people that write about him. And these are people that don't have a reason to, like Romans and Jewish historians that don't have a reason to talk about this Christian, because if anything, the Jewish faith did not like the Christians at this time, and the Romans did not like the Christians at this time. They were killing them and everything else. So,
yeah, I think it's well documented that, you know, especially like you said, maybe not early on, but definitely later when Jesus began to make sort of a scene in the world, that the Jewish people, the Romans,
They took note.
They had to.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's his existence is well documented even in their literature.
Yeah, and I think, coming back to what you were saying, that this is kind of corroborated by the secular histories surrounding the events of the Bible mm-hmm. as well. So I think, yeah, you have a list there, but someone like Josephus, who's a first century Jewish writer, talks about early Christians and this man who was persecuted by the Romans, and you have historical events in the Bible. So you're talking about being born in a stable. There's a historical record of first of all the context that you have a secular Judean authority existing underneath the purview of the Roman Empire, and that a census was taken, and you have sort of the events that become the context of the New Testament, and I think historically, if you're looking at sources outside of the Bible, that there's as much reason to believe in Jesus historically as basically any other, you know, historical figure from the ancient world. You have like Julius Caesar or Socrates or of the which we can see kind of in hindsight when we're looking at kind of documented history since. We have apostolic succession, so we have a clear line of the successors of the apostles. But a lot of people, I don't think, think about that before. So you have something like the Septuagint, which is the Greek compilation of what is the Hebrew Bible that was written between like 350 and 275 BC, where you have all of the kind of major and minor prophets that are predicting the coming of Christ. That if this is just kind of a conspiracy, made up by a bunch of first century Jewish fishermen, which is unlikely in and of itself, that's extended over the course of 400 to 600 years that they're laying the groundwork for this this to happen, exactly. Which I don't think a lot of
foresight to it.
A lot of people.
That's okay. We'll start this, and 400 years later, we'll create this character.
And like you said, that it wasn't just, even if it is this kind of protracted conspiracy, that you would expect it to have gone differently. That if this was developed by Jewish conspirators to establish a new Judean king or something like that, Jesus would have been kind of dramatically different.
Yes.
That the people who kind of confirmed historically that Jesus existed had no real reason to do so, and actually had the opposite, that the Jewish authorities at the time, and Judaism was a mixed bag.
Yeah, of everybody.
Yeah, during the first century, everything was done by the Romans to suppress this narrative early on. So it's kind of a miracle of history that it was able to
get through that and
continue to conquer the Roman Empire without firing a shot.
I have a couple of those things. So I did jot down a couple of notes. So Josephus, Flavius Josephus, right? And he was the Jewish historian. And so he was about 37 AD after is where he was born, after Christ, and then he was writing a couple years after, 20, 30 years after that. So he wrote two things in the history, in his Jewish historical accounts. And one of them, he talks about James, the death of James, and which he refers to specifically, the brother of Jesus who is called the Messiah. Now, he's a Jew, like, again, he's calling him the Jesus the Messiah, but he's not Christian. You know, he's not a Christian historian.
Right.
But he's saying that people call this guy the Messiah, and this is how James died. And then so he does the account of that. And the other one is he talks about this man, also says it's a man who did surprising deeds that are unexplainable and was condemned to be crucified by Pilate. And so now he doesn't say that this man is Jesus the Messiah, but he's talking about there is this man that has caused problems. but he does surprising deeds that can be unexplained, and that he was condemned to die by Pontius Pilate. And if we're looking at, okay, let's line some things up with the Bible, with what we know, Now, does it point directly to Jesus? He doesn't name him by name, no. And did Pontius Pilate crucify people? Yes, that was a Roman torture method. So we know a lot of the things, we know a lot of the facts that happened in the Bible happened in real life. Like you're saying, like the census and all those kinds of things. One of the other things, though, to go on the fact that if they were thinking they wanted to make this take off, right, the story of Jesus, one of the things they would not have used at that time, if you look at the criticism that the earlier church or even Judaism or early Christianity is a patriarchal society, is that they wouldn't use women as a witness, right? And if you look at Jesus rising from the dead, the very first people to see him rise from the dead, or the very first people that he come back and encountered, were women.
The women.
And so the women were the witness to say, well, if they wanted this, if it was a fake thing, it was just a bunch of fishermen that made that fake thing up, and maybe Jesus didn't rise from that, they wouldn't have used a woman as the witness. They would have faked a man, because in that time, a man, like it was a man's encounter that could be testified in court. A woman couldn't testify in court. And so a woman's encounter wouldn't. So like just all those little things that don't make sense if you were making this up. You would make this a solid alibi. I mean, a solid excuse or a solid story, right? So it's kind of cool that you can go back and see that. The other guy, though, so that was Josephus. The other one was Tacitus. Yeah, he's a Roman historian, and he talks about Jesus as well. And again, the other person that from the Roman history killing the Christians at the very beginning doesn't make sense that he would talk about Jesus or talk like he'd want to squash the idea of this person and talk about him in a not a positive light, but in a wow, there's this person, you know, kind of light, and explaining some of the things that were happening. So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, and I think too, even from like those are basically non-Christian believers writing about the presence of Jesus or the existence of Jesus, and the stories in the Acts of the Apostles, for example, I know it's biblical, but even like the writings of the Acts of the Apostles match up with historical truths that were present in the time after Jesus' death. So the apostles that were sort of going around and living the life that, you know, they've given their life to Jesus. Now they're living this new life that they have. And what happened to most of them? A lot of them suffered.
And
a lot
died.
Of them died, were killed.
Martyred. Yeah.
They're now those killings, those martyrdoms
are recorded
in historical history. historical history.
Outside the Bible.
I'm such a shame to Matt. He's like, Matt's shaking his head. Yeah. Outside of the Bible, right? So these things are recorded there. And when you put all those things together, like why are these people giving their life? You know, like, why are these people going all the way to the point where they're going to die, be killed for something that was made up, let's say?
Yeah.
Like, would you give your life for something that you're not really sure about?
You think eventually when you're tortured, I mean, it talked about how Christianity grew is because as you're being killed and as you're being tortured, as you're being fed to the lions, as you're being all those things, instead of denying your faith, they started praying and they started worshiping God, and they died while praising God, and there's like accounts of that in the Roman theater.
Yeah, and I think that I think too that maybe, like you said, on those accounts that people were being tortured or whatever, lots of times they were being saying, do you change your mind?
Yeah, exactly.
Would you like to refute what you're saying?
Listen, we'll put out the fire if you say no.
Just tell us now.
Exactly.
You know, and they kept saying, no, I'm not changing my mind. No, I'm not. You know, so that to me is just a beautiful witness to what people truly believed. So, and was like the apostles, especially what they saw.
Yeah.
You know, what they lived. And yeah,
you can't deny too. Sometimes, I mean, I think in our own personal life, those acts of faith, you have to, like, you see things happen in your life that you go, wow, that must be God. That must be, you have to, like, for me, I know that there's areas in my life where I've seen, I'm going to call them mini miracles happen that I attribute to faith, that help build my faith, feed my faith, I guess you will. And there's sometimes where I am in a spot where I doubt or I am unsure. I go back to those accounts and go, no, I am positive that this was, like, I'm positive on all this, on all the facts I know about this, that this was a mini miracle in my life. You know what I mean? And those mini miracles help get me through those harder times in life, you know?
What about the people that say Jesus was, you know, just sort of a good guy? Like, you know, so we've talked about people who say he doesn't even exist, that 20% you're talking about.
And we know he does.
And we know he does, right? So what about the people who say that, okay, he does exist, and he was kind of like a mix between a great social worker, you know, and maybe even part magician, like, so he or healing
guru or something.
Yes, exactly.
That's a
medicine
much,
man.
That's a much more interesting question for me, because it's like even a lot of kind of secular historians, like who know their stuff, don't really deny the existence of the historical person of Jesus. It's just a question of whether or not he was who he said he was, whether or not Christianity, the emergence of Christianity, was just a historical event, or if there's actually some miraculous aspect to what he did. And I think, you can take even small things from the Bible when he says, you will drink of this cup. We referenced it in our podcast about suffering, that it's like he's kind of telling the story of the early church throughout the apostolic age and into all the way up to the point where Christianity was adopted by the Roman Empire. That it's like that you will participate in my suffering because the world doesn't understand who I am.
Yeah.
That so you can point to things like that. You can point to the miraculous historical event that Christianity conquered the Roman Empire, which was the prevailing military force since the Greek, or like for hundreds of years with no military force, and that's
something that can only be done with
historically
divine.
Noteworthy.
Yeah,
something that can only be done with divine intervention, and not just.
Yeah, and there is a tendency, we said, that some people have no real commitment or no real stake in whether Jesus was a historical person or not. But there is a real kind of effort made to diminish the person of Jesus, to say he was just a historical figure. He was just a nice guy, or like this teaching guru. And I think, we can point to kind of the anomalies around his life and in the early church to say that there was definitely more. There's you're not able to kind of explain away the miraculous part of the Gospels. You're not able to explain away the miraculous part of the history of the church. You talk about Eucharistic miracles and the canonization of early saints and kind of confirmation of the supernatural in history. Mm-hmm. So being kind of in the post Enlightenment, post scientific revolution West, we kind of want to remove all reference to the supernatural from our histories.
True, yeah.
At some point you have to encounter the person of Jesus, that if he was who he said he was, that challenges us to really look at ourselves, who we are, who his establishment of the church, what the church is, because it's not something that we can just explain away as just this distant historical event.
That's true. And you know, when we reflect on who he is and on who we are too, like that's what the people who are around him were doing too. That's why when we were talking about people who give up their life, who just accepted death for Jesus, you know, they weren't doing it because he was a good guy.
Yeah.
They weren't doing it because they was like, oh, he was a cool friend to have. Yeah. Like, you know, God bless my friends. I love them to death. But, you know, yeah. Am I going to give up my life because of a cool buddy of mine? Like,
because
you know
I want to be part of this social club.
Right. So if these people realized who Jesus is, mainly from two reasons, what he said about himself and what they saw with their own eyes, mm-hmm. right? And then we have to hear and see the same things as well.
I think, so that's where I think C.S. Lewis's argument, Lord, lunatic or liar. I mean, Jesus was one of three things. If he said who he is, so he's either the Lord, he's a lunatic, or he's a liar. And what we can look at is some of the evidence that we see in the Bible is if he was a lunatic, well, he could say whatever he wanted to say. So he says that he is God or the Son of God, that God's his Father. He says these things. He's performing miracles and stuff. Eventually, people figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. And then eventually, like, people walk away. They don't, you know, like, he doesn't have thousands upon thousands of people. And then the faith doesn't just continue on a lunatic. You know, you have a couple, you have 20 or 30 or whatever. But you don't have a whole horde of 2,000
Would it be
people.
Like the same thing? Like, you know, even in recent history, you've had people who claim to be the second coming of Christ.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
And it grabs attention at first, and then people kind of laugh it off,
exactly.
And then you never hear about them again. Right?
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
kind of the same.
That's my thought. That's the lunatic
that's
part,
the
right?
Lunatic
that's
part.
Lunatic.
Yeah.
Or the liar part. And so lunatic or liar, either if he's a lunatic, he believed what he said. But then people realize he's a lunatic,
right?
And then they did like then they stop following because he is crazy, and they can't necessarily they're not going to follow him. Or he's a liar, meaning he knows he's not the Son of God. He knows he's not God, but he's saying it to try to con people into it. But again, the same kind of thing. People have done that in the past, second coming of Christ or whatever the case may be, and the con goes by the wayside. People do discover the truth. The truth always comes out, always
yeah.
comes to light eventually. Give it time, and the church has lots of time on its hands. And so if he's not a lunatic and he's not a liar, and these people are seeing things, and they're giving their life for these miracles that they're witnessing and that kind of, then he must be who he says he is. And that's where he goes. If he is who he said he is, then we must be who he said we are. And then we also must be worthy of what he said we're worthy of, but we're also held accountable to what he said we're accountable.
So just quickly here, let's just throw them out. What are some things Jesus said about himself?
That okay. that he was the son, my Father in heaven. He keeps talking about my Father in heaven and that he was sent.
And he is one with the Father.
He is the true way, the truth, and the life. Mm-hmm. Like only the way to the Father
right.
is through
I
him.
I am the way, the
truth,
and
life.
The life. That's
the
right.
only way is through me.
He talked about being the gate,
the
gate into heaven,
yeah.
right? He talked about being the good shepherd, leading
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that Jesus said about himself? I mean, just to throw them out there, and then we'll reflect a little bit on what we can understand about ourselves
from that. Well, I mean, I think if you those are the big ones that come to mind. The
yeah.
way, the truth, and the life is the biggest one for
yeah.
me. And if he says that, and then and he's not a lunatic or a liar, then that's got to be, we got to follow that. We've got to understand that. And that these people didn't turn away. They saw the miracles and they also saw him get crucified.
Yeah.
Like right there is where mm-hmm. you run away. If you had a little bit of doubt, you'd run away. Okay, your cult leader just got crucified. Mm-hmm. This is the time you're going to deny and realize, oh, this was just a bag of lies or just a bunch of fun in my early years.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I followed this guy. I got a tattoo of him on my back kind of thing. But realizing that, but that's not what happened. It grew from there.
Yeah.
People experienced the miracle.
Even the person at the Roman soldier.
Yes,
you know,
saw it on the cross.
This truly was the Son of Man. I think there was a movie or a TV series
yeah.
about that character. Hey,
yeah, no, it was
what his life
oh,
happened after.
Yeah, the resurrection. It wasn't him. It was of a. I know what you're talking
okay.
about. The Roman soldier who was like the detective who got talked about. He was hired to figure out what happened with Jesus' body.
Right, okay.
And so he was interviewing the apostles
yeah.
and the people and that soldier that was standing
right.
there, as well as the soldiers that were standing by the tomb guarding it. And
yeah,
it was
okay, so if that's what Jesus said about himself, what can we conclude about ourselves?
Extending what Jesus said about himself to the church itself. So If Jesus is the Son of Man, the Son of God, and he says that to Peter, It's like, you are the head of the church. Like, okay, that challenges us, because if Jesus established the church, the early apostles, the church, the historical church, we have to face up to, you know, what the church is in our world today. That
you have the keys of the kingdom now. You have the, right?
Yeah, and if Jesus is saying that he is the resurrection and the life, that he's the means by which we're redeemed, that he's the savior, that is, okay, that challenges us. What do we need to be saved from? What are these kind of realities of sin that, you know, I need to encounter, not just kind of explain away as, right, you know, a historical coincidence, but actually face up to directly.
Yeah.
And the body and blood of Christ, like the sacrament of the Eucharist is right there. And I mean, we've talked about it in our earlier episodes, but that, like that, he says that, so that if we're believing all this stuff, then we know that that's the true body and blood of Christ. Then we know that the church is his authority here on earth in a sense, right? Yeah. That there's that apostolic succession, like you said. And so we can follow all that down to being, okay, so, like, we got to look at this a little bit more seriously, that God did put a plan in place.
Yeah.
Obviously, we couldn't get back. Like, we weren't doing a good job thousands of years before Christ. God wanted us. He sent prophets. He, you know, we got a lot of stories there about the Israelites wrestling with God over his faith, over their faith with him. But then eventually to the point where now, like, God, okay, I'm going to put this, I'm going to put this church in place, so that you guys can follow and listen, and then you have a guiding light or a beacon to go back to when you kind of get lost or astray. Mm-hmm. Turn back, and these guys not necessarily will have all the answers, but will have most of the answers, right? Mm-hmm. Or that they, I find with the Catholic Church, there's a yes, there's a no, and there's very little gray. And if there is gray, it's very much, not that we don't have an answer on this, but this is the parameters in which you have to believe, like we talked about last episode with evolution. You know what I mean? Like, so there's this, that, and that, like, there's yes, there's no, and then it's for me, it's very comforting.
Yeah, so I agree. And I think, you know, Jesus is the Savior, which means we're the saved.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus is the Redeemer, which means we're the redeemed.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Forgiver, which means we are the forgiven.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I think, and even being made in the image and likeness of God, the image and likeness of God is right here in front of us, for the people to see, for the people to write about in the scriptures, for people to write about their own experience. So, you know, and one thing that I'd like to tell people too is, yes, the scriptures were divinely inspired by God, and some of these people were just writing about their experience with Jesus, what they witnessed, what they encountered. And so what if we had to do that?
Yeah.
What if we had to write a story about our encounter with Jesus? You know, because that's what some of the scriptures are, especially in the later, like St. Paul writes a lot about that, about his encounter with Jesus. What if we did the same thing? You know, then it puts a face to the person of Jesus, and also gives us, too, a face of our Christian character as well. You know, and I think, too, the more we get to know about Jesus, the more we get to know about our true self, because that's who we were created for. Okay, we're way over time today, but of course, we could probably do a series of episodes just on Jesus, you know, our favorite person. So I think we could keep going. A challenge for people today?
I would say reflect, if you were going to write a story about Jesus, how you would witness to someone saying, this is how you know who Jesus is. Write that down, or take 5-10 minutes, sit down quietly and reflect on that. Say, how do you know? What is the miracle in your life? What are the areas in your life that you can explain or write your experience of Jesus?
Right. I think that's a great challenge. I can't wait to read your story, Matt, next week. thank you for joining us on this episode of The Catholic Buzz. As always, you can always send us an email at thecatholicbuzzpodcast@gmail.com. Send us your questions, comments, anything else you want, ideas for future episodes as well. Thanks for joining us today. For Josh Sullivan and Matt Dan Milligan, I'm Father Daniele, and we'll see you next time on The Catholic Buzz.